I think a lot of times about different things, what the Lord is doing and what He would like to do, and I think of all the things that He cannot do because of my unbelief. The Bible said many wonderful things He could not do because of their unbelief. Isn't that wonderful? To think that He could do all those things. And it's wonderful to know that Jesus could have done them and would have done them. But the sad part is that they had unbelief and He couldn't do it. He couldn't do it because of their unbelief. The Word of God is so precious. The Bible speaks of a certain time when it said, in those days the Word of the Lord was precious. In those days the Word of the Lord was precious. Because you didn't get the Word of the Lord much. And the Bible speaks of a time in the end of the world where it said, in the Word of the Lord, there shall be a famine in the land for the hearing of the Word of God. And you know, we're living in that day right now. Right now. Living in that day. It doesn't say that there will be a famine for the Word of God. It doesn't say that there will be a shortage concerning the Word of God. No famine for the Word of God. It didn't say that there'd be a famine for the Word of God. To the contrary, He said He would pour out of His Spirit, which is Word or Spirit, that He would pour out His knowledge upon all flesh in the latter times and the last days. And He did not say there would be a famine for the Word of God. He said, but there'll be a famine for the hearing of the Word of God. For the Bible said, who hath believed our report? And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. There will be a famine for the hearing of the Word of God. For the Bible said, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itchy ears, and they'll turn away their ears from the Word of God unto fables, old wives' fables. They'll turn away their ears from the Word of God, and they'll listen to all kind of heresy, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. You know, the world today is filled with doctrines, but they're not doctrines of God, they're doctrines of demon spirits, of devils. One is the yoga, and one is, well, what can you say? There's Mohammedism, there's Confucius, there's all kinds of things in the world today. Romanism, doctrines of devils. You say, Brother Pike, would you say that the Word of God was a doctrine of the devil? No. I would say that the Word of God is the Word of God. But I would say that they change the Word of God into a lie, which is a doctrine of the devil. And they take the Word of God, or enough of the Word of God, to pervert the truth, and they change the Word of God to where it fits their own ideas, their own desires, and their own programs in life, trying to substantiate their evil doings. And they love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil, and yet they're just as religious as Cain was, who killed his own brother. So then the Bible said, in that day the Word of the Lord was precious. And in our day the Word of the Lord is precious. Not because there is a famine for the Word of God, but as I say, there is a famine for the hearing of the Word of God, in that they have changed the Word of God into a lie. They've twisted things around, and they've made it fit the ball games that they want to go to and the frolics that they want to go to, and they've made it fit their gullible desire of selfishness and evil as to the lust of the flesh and the concupiscence of life. See, and they have twisted the Word of God, and as it was in Jesus' day, they've added to it and taken away from it until it's like the Constitution of the United States. You can't hardly recognize it anymore. It's like a freckle-faced person, you know. They've got so many freckles you can't hardly tell where one starts and the other ends. That's the way the Constitution of the United States is. They put so many addendums and so many additives to it till it looks like a freckle-faced woman. And it's the same way with the Bible in the church. The religious way of life, they have done the same thing to it. Till it is so spotted up till you can't tell
one thing from another. When the Bible said that the bride is to be without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish, and every time that an individual privately interprets the scriptures, they put a spot and a blemish on the church. The Bible said that it's of no private interpretation. It was given and written as holy men were moved by God and inspired by God. And if it's interpreted, it must be interpreted as holy men are moved and inspired by God. We shouldn't say that it shall be interpreted as men are inspired by God, just inspired by God, because the inspiration of God comes upon everybody. But it must be interpreted by holy men. The Bible speaks of God's holy prophets and God's holy apostles and God's holy men and God's holy women. There are holy people. The Bible said, be holy for I'm holy. We've got a church today, but the church is far from being holy so far as being subjected to the ways of God in there. And their bodies conforming to the desire of God. They're holy in that they're holy by the righteousness of the Lord Jesus. But as babes, they still have envy and strife and malice among them. And they've not developed and they've not become holy to the extent that their bodies are fully given to the way of God and surrendered to the knowledge of God to the extent that they put away all of the desires of the flesh. They've not put away the desires of the flesh. They still love to eat, drink, go, frolic, do the things of the world. You know, they'll do a little bit here and a little bit there, and then they're off like children. You put a child to work, and that little child, they'll dilly-dally around a little bit over here, you know, and they'll work a little bit, and then they'll leave. It's like when I was a boy picking cotton, my granddaddy, a lot of times he had to get the hickory because I just kind of dilly-dallied across the field, and I'd pull a bowl here and pull a bowl there, and I'd get to grunting with my back, you know, where I'd bend over picking the cotton, and I'd skip a row, and first news you know, the hickory would come. And that's the way it is with the people of today. You don't find people really genuinely wanting to serve God. So far as leaving off with the natural things that they like to do, and really getting down to business and loving God with all of their heart, with all of their mind, with all of their strength, they don't want to do that. They love God some, and then they want to go do what they want to do for 2 or 3 hours or 2 or 3 days or 2 or 3 months. And then when they get through with that fleshly thing, they'll come back and dilly-dally around with the church again for a few hours and back to the flesh and the lust of the flesh. They go just as hard as they can go to make money, to eat and drink, to frolic, to get the things of the world and go right back to the same old place that there was before. See, not really serving God, not really getting down to business, not really giving their life and their time and bringing every thought into subjection to Christ as to the obedience of the Word of God, to be fully given to thinking about Jesus and doing something for Jesus. See, we're supposed to be of such caliber of life that when we go to work on Monday, all day long we're supposed to think about Jesus. And all day long we're supposed to work with this thought in mind. I hope that this week that I can make enough to share with Jesus. I hope I can make enough to pay my bills and keep a good name. Not with the thought in mind, I hope I can make enough this week to buy me a new car, to pay on my nice home and to get me something else new and put a little money in the bank, you know, and eat and frolic and me and my wife can go, you know, here and there and everywhere. Not that kind of thing, but forsaking the world, forsaking everything in the world, doing away with all that's in the world, which is the lust of the flesh and the pride of life, whereas the Bible said all that'll pass away. See, not going after that, but going after God with all our heart. I want to read just a little bit in the book of Jeremiah concerning the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord is precious. And concerning the thoroughness of the word of God and the sacredness of the word of God, and concerning how that we should have the fear of the Word of God, and how that we should fear with all of our heart to say anything at all contrary to the Word of God, or to change it, or to alter it in any manner, we should be so afraid. I want to read this a little bit and talk from this a little tonight. In the 28th chapter of the book of Jeremiah, and it came to pass, beginning at the first verse, the same year in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the 4th year and in the 5th month, that Hananiah, the son of Azor, the prophet, which was of Gibeon, spake unto me in the house of the Lord, in the presence of the priest and of all of the people, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within 2 full years will I bring again into this place all the vessels of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried them to Babylon. And I will bring again to this place Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, with all the captives of Judah that went into Babylon, saith the Lord. For I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. Then the prophet Jeremiah said unto the prophet Hananiah, in the presence of the priest, and in the presence of all the people that stood in the house of the Lord, even the prophet Jeremiah said, Amen. The Lord do so. The Lord perform thy words which thou hast prophesied, to bring again the vessels of the Lord's house and all that is carried away captive from Babylon into this place. Nevertheless, hear thou now this word that I speak in thine ears and in the ears of all the people. The prophets that have been before me and before thee of old prophesied both against many countries and against great kingdoms of war and of evil and of pestilence. The prophet which prophesied of peace, when the word of the prophet shall come to pass, then shall the prophet be known that the Lord hath truly sent him. Then Hananiah the prophet took the yoke from off of the prophet Jeremiah's neck and brake it. And Hananiah spake in the presence of all the people, saying, Thus saith the Lord, even so will I break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all nations within the space of 2 full years. And the prophet Jeremiah went his way. Then the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the prophet, after that Hananiah the prophet had broken the yoke from off of the neck of the prophet Jeremiah, saying, Go and tell Hananiah, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Thou hast broken the yokes of wood, but thou shalt make for them yokes of iron. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have put a yoke of iron upon the neck of all these nations, that they may serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and they shall serve him, and I have given him the beast of the field also. Then said the prophet Jeremiah unto Hananiah the prophet, Hear now, Hananiah, the Lord hath not sent thee, but thou makest this people to trust in a lie. Therefore thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will cast thee from off of the face of the earth. This year thou shalt die, because thou hast taught rebellion against the Lord. So Hananiah the prophet died the same year in the 7th month. Yeah, you know what? I said that to try to bring out a thought tonight. It's not good to go around saying the Lord said. You shouldn't go around saying the Lord said. In this day that we're living in, people are so lighthearted. I hear people everywhere I go, men and women alike. They'll say, the Lord told me this, and the Lord told me that, and God said this. And I sit sometimes and almost shudder. I listen at them and I think, my God, God, you haven't spoken to that man, and you haven't spoken to that woman. And that woman just so lightheartedly, that man just so lightheartedly says, and God said this, and God said that. And I think, my God, how can anybody be so foolish as to say God said, when God hath not spoken, God hath not sent them, and God did not tell them. And I think of this great, wonderful leadership of Jeremiah the prophet. Brother Jeremiah, the great and mighty prophet. The man that stayed before God, the man that loved God, the man that shed tears, the man that listened in on heaven, the man that was concerned enough about the people that he was a holy man, a godly man, stayed with God. The only interest he had was God from morning until night. He had one great interest, and that was God. He wanted to hear from heaven. He wanted, as Daniel, he wanted to know about God. As it was with Daniel, Daniel was a great leader down with the king of Babylon. There he was a great leader over the great wise men. But Daniel cared for none of those things. Daniel prayed 3 times a day, and he turned his face toward heaven. And he began to call on the name of the Lord, because he wanted to hear from heaven and he wanted to know about God. And when the angel of the Lord came to Daniel, he looked at him with great reverence and respect and said, O Daniel, thou beloved man of God. He loved Daniel. Said, thou art beloved of God, Daniel. And here is Jeremiah, the great beloved man of God, the great prophet. Jeremiah, the great weeping prophet. Here he is. And Jeremiah is saying, thus saith the Lord. And here Hananiah is a false prophet,
going around trying to console the church, saying, God loves you. God loves you, church. You know, God cares for you, church. And God isn't going to let that king of Babylon do you no harm. God's going to break the yoke off, and God's going to restore, and God's going to bless you, and God's going to heal you. And we're going to have a great revival because God wants you to shout and dance and sing, and God's going to give you all these things, and we're going to have such a glorious time. And as it was with Moses, there while he was on the mountain trying to seek God and find a word from God to find out what was going on to save the people's life, here down in the valley there comes along somebody that's telling them all they have to do is dance by the golden calf and have a good time and have the gold and silver and have the riches, you know. And the Bible said in the latter days, lukewarm Laodicea, a name that they live when they're dead, saying that they're rich and have need of nothing. And the Bible said they know not that they are wretched and blind and miserable. But here it is, the prophet saying, God said thus and thus. And then Hananiah, the false prophet, saying, God is going to bless you. God is against the king of Babylon. And God is going to restore all of these things. And God's going to give to you. And God wants you to have prosperity. And God's going to heal your body. And they shout and they sing, you know, here they are. And then here comes the prophet along. And this prophet, you know, he comes about like Micah did back there. Or he comes along and he begins to prophesy. And he said, folks, I didn't see it that way. He said, here's the thing about it. He said, if God will break the yoke off, so be it. He said, if God will restore his people back and give them the good things, he said, yea and amen, I'm for it. I long for the day, Jeremiah could have said, to see the yoke broken off of the children of Israel and see them dance and see them have a good time. But he said, beware, for I have a word from the Lord, and this is the true word of God. He said, thus saith the Lord, you broke the yoke of wood, he said, but I placed the yoke of iron upon you because you're wicked, because you won't live right, because you won't do right, because you're sinful. He said, you're not going to shout, and you're not going to sing, and you're not going to have healing, and you're not going to have prosperity, and you're not going to do all of these things, as we would say in the day that we're living in, because you lined the billfold, as we say, or you put in the offering. You're not going to have those good times that preacher's telling you that you're going to have. For there is no peace to the wicked, he said. I'm angry with the wicked every day, and I'll pursue the wicked till they perish from off of the face of the earth. He said, and when they get their minds off of the world, and they get their minds off of the things that's unlike God, and when they turn away from their wickedness, and when they begin to repent, he said, then I'll bless them. When they begin to pursue a path of peace, and they begin to ask for God, and they begin to ask for the things of God, and they begin to seek and hunger and thirst after God, he said, then will I hear from heaven when they repent, and I will heal their lands. When they confess their sins, and when they forsake their sins, and they get their minds off of the world. For if the love of the world is in you, the love of God isn't there. If you love to do the things of the world, then you don't love to do the things of God. Take any man that's practicing in a habitual way the things of the world, and I'll show you a man that won't practice prayer. I'll show you a man that won't practice fasting. And I'll show you a man that's not regular in coming to the house of God. And I'll show you a man that's not spiritual. I'll show you a man that's short-tempered. I'll show you a man that's lustful. I'll show you a man that's careless, because that man doesn't seek after God. So then the prophet said, thus saith the Lord. So there ain't going to be no return from there. He said, I tell you, people, you're going to be under the king of Babylon, and you're going to have a yoke upon your neck. And God doesn't love you like that Hananias is telling you, because God is upset with you because of your wicked doings. And I will pursue the wicked till they perish from off of the face of the earth. Beware you that forget God, lest I turn you into hell. For all nations that forget God, I will turn them into hell. So then the word of the Lord was precious. And the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet. The great, wonderful, unadulterated word of God. Isn't that wonderful? The word of God came to Jeremiah. Hananiah stood up. He wanted fame. He wanted popularity. He wanted preeminence. You know, like in the day we're living in, television programs, big tents, wanting somebody to say, praise them, you know, or say good things about them. Or rabbi, rabbi. You know, Jesus run into that. Rabbi, rabbi. Don't want to fast, don't want to pray, don't want to seek God, don't want to turn away from the flesh, don't want to get away from the things of the world, but want to be called of men rabbi, rabbi, big minister.
You know, and Hananiah stood there and he wanted that. He wanted the fine robes. He wanted to be called a men rabbi. He wanted people to look up to him. He wanted to be something special. He wanted to be something outstanding. And Jeremiah said, so be it. May your words come to pass. May the children of Israel hurry home. He said, but the word of God has said, thus saith the Lord. They won't be doing that. And he said, Hananiah, because you lied, because you said you've got a word from God, because you prophesied peace when there wasn't any peace to the wicked. He said, thus saith the Lord, Hananiah, you shall die. Because thou hast said when God has not spoken. You know, it's a bad situation. Like a minister not too long ago, I talked to him. And I talked to this man. He was going around saying, thus saith the Lord. And he wanted preeminence and he wanted people to praise him. But he was out making money every day. His mind was on money every day. And somebody got the idea it was some kind of a prophet. And they was praising him. And somebody come to him and for advice. And he advised them. And the very advice he gave them almost killed him. It caused him to fall from a high place and almost be crushed to death. And he was pining and going on. And he came to counsel with me, wanting to know what was going on. But you know, the very same person I told some of them, I said, he's going to get in problems. I said, he's going to run into trouble going around trying to make money and be in the world and not have his mind on God and still saying, the Lord said. Folks, if we're going to say the Lord said, we better get acquainted with the Lord. We better find out who the Lord is, and we better find out the ways of the Lord. And we better find out what he's doing. And we better find out if we're right in what we're saying before we go to say, thus saith the Lord. You know, it's a beautiful thing to raise your hand up and say, thus saith the Lord. If you know what you're talking about. And if you know that God is with you. And if you know you're saying the right thing. But it's a foolish thing to go around saying, thus saith the Lord. And pervert the minds of the people and pervert the church and cause heresy. And all kinds of problems in the church. Saying, thus saith the Lord, when you don't know anything about the Lord. These preachers and different ones that's going around talking about, thus saith the Lord, perverting the minds of the people. And they're saying, God bless you and God wants you healed and God wants you to prosper and God's got something for you. Keep on going to your football games and keep on going to your basketball games and keep on having your petting parties. Keep on drinking and nipping at the bottle. Keep on watching your television shows on the side. Keep on doing the things that you're doing. God understands because God loves you. Like a man I've said so many times that said, God's going to save us in spite of ourselves. But folks, I'm here with a word from the Lord. And the word of God said, there's no peace to the wicked. And the Lord said, if you forget me, I'll turn you into hell. And God said, beware ye that forget me, lest I tear you into pieces. And God said, there's no peace to the wicked. And even the offering of the wicked is the abomination in my sight. And I will pursue you till you perish from off of the face of the earth. That's what God's word is saying. And that's what God's word's going to do. Like somebody told me today, said that Mr. Reagan stood up and made the statement, said, I'm bold enough to make the statement that I believe that the world is a safer place to live in. Since he had the conversation over there with the Russian leader. I don't come against the president because I respect the president, a great and mighty man. I don't come against the dignitaries. I have respect for him. But brethren, let me tell you this. It's not a safer place to live in. As a matter of fact, it's the worst a place than it's ever been. Because the Bible said when they cry peace and safety, then sudden destruction. So then it's not a safer place. It's more dangerous than it ever was. Because at any time now, it can just go boom, as we say. Because the Bible teaches that these things will come to pass and that the scriptures cannot be broken. Don't you settle down at ease in Zion. And don't you take that as something of being safe. You fear God and you walk in the fear of God and you walk with the Lord and you talk with the Lord and you check yourself every little bit to make sure that you're right with God. And you'd be ready any time, for God may call you any time and something may happen any time. Because when God said sudden destruction, he meant sudden destruction. He didn't mean delayed destruction. He meant sudden destruction when they cry peace and safety. And that's exactly what they're beginning to do. And so then the word of the Lord was precious. And the Bible said, and the word of the Lord was precious in that day. Don't pervert the word of God.
Don't mess around with the Word of God. Don't try to change the Word of God into a lie. Don't make a doctrine of the devil out of the Word of God. Don't take something that's holy and something that's godly and give to the dogs. Don't cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Don't do that. See, stand up for God. Stand up for the Word of the Lord. Be a true prophet. Be a true mouthpiece for God. Just say exactly what the Word says and don't say no more. Stand on the Word of God. If you're prophesying, stay with the Word of God. If you're telling something, stay with the Word of God. You make sure that you get a Word of God from heaven. You make sure that it is a Word from the Lord before you say thus and thus. A lot of times people get disturbed at me. They come and ask me things. And they say, well, tell me. I'm asking you over and over, you didn't tell me. I mean, they just about get in a rage. You know, like down there in the valley, there was the priest and there was the people. And they were saying, tell us something, Moses. We want to know something. You know, and Moses said, you have to be patient. Tell us something. And a week went by and he didn't tell them nothing. And they got more disturbed. And 2 weeks went by and he didn't tell them anything. And then after a while, 3 weeks went by, you know, and on and on and on. Until after about 80 days, he began to come back into the camp in peace and begin to tell him something. See, he didn't want to tell him anything because they'd already been told a lot of things. He wanted to be sure that he had a word from God. Somebody jumped up and David said, it's in my haste, I said it. Somebody jumps up and they say, the word of the Lord, let's have a revival. I've got to get an offering. We got to do something. I can't just sit around and do nothing. See, that's not the way it is, folks. But the way it is the way for the man of God. If he stays the week, let him stay a week. If he stays the month, let him stay a month. And when he does come back from God, he'll say, thus saith the Lord, and it'll be God's word. And it'll prosper, and it'll prosper in what God has sent it to prosper in. His word will not return unto him void. It will accomplish that he pleases. It is settled in heaven. It will not be changed. It will not be altered. And when he says, thus saith the Lord. You know, like it was in the days of Moses back there when the cloud would come. And the cloud would be over the tent. And when the cloud got over the tent, it just stayed right there. Everybody sat still till the cloud moved. Nobody didn't move till the cloud moved. Folks, don't jump up and move. If the cloud is over your tent, just sit still and be thankful that God's with you. Don't move. But when that cloud begins to stir you and you see that cloud moving off, you get a hold of yourself and you go the way the cloud went. You follow the cloud. For the rainbow was placed in the cloud. You follow the cloud, you'll follow the covenant. Be led of the Spirit. If the Spirit of God leads you into one place, go into that place. Don't stay in another place. See, if God says go into one place, go into that place. If the Spirit of God said go, go. Don't sit around and wait. You know, if God said go, it's time to go. Right then and there, it's time to go. Not time to wait, folks. It's time to go. But when that cloud stops and that cloud doesn't move, you sit right there. You stay right there. It doesn't matter who probes at you. Don't matter what anybody says. You stay right there. Stay on the Word of God. If the Word of God says thus and thus and thus, the cloud is stayed. Stay right there. It doesn't matter how interesting it seems to do something else or how promising it seems to do something else. It doesn't matter what your wife says. It doesn't matter what your children says. It doesn't matter what the preacher says. It doesn't matter what the church says. God said stay there. And you stay right there until the cloud gets ready to move. When the cloud gets ready to move, you just get up and say, praise God. The Spirit said for me to move. I'm going to be led by the Spirit of God. So then Hananiah came and he gave his word. Folks, there's a lot of Hananiahs in the day we're living in. Did you know that? The world, the church world has gone down into Babylon. They're confused. They don't know what they're doing. They're in the midst of ball games and pool rooms and worldly attire. All of the things of the world. They're right in the midst of it and they're confused and they don't know what to do. And Hananias is saying, everything is well. There's a revival coming. Everything's going to be all right. God loves you, folks. God loves you, folks. And God is saying by the word, repent. Repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, he says to the world. And he says to the church, repent, repent, get straightened out. And then I'll let you get your harps off of the willows, and I'll let you sing the songs of Zion. And I'll take you back into your home country. And then you'll feed from God's table, and then you'll have the grapes of Eshcol. And then you'll have the land of milk and honey. And then you'll shout, and then your children will break forth in the singing, and you'll be a great and a mighty nation. because you repented and because you turned away from your evil. The Bible said, he that confesseth his sins and forsaketh his sins shall be blessed, and whatsoever that man do, he shall prosper. But on the other hand, if you don't confess your sins, and if you don't forsake your sins, even if you do confess them, and if you don't go the way of the Lord and you don't do the things of the Lord, then, brethren, you're not going to have peace. Sisters, you're not going to have peace. If you don't do the will of God and you don't do the way of God and you don't have a clean heart and you don't have a clean mind, and if you don't get your mind off of the world and get the love of the world out of you and get the love of God in you, you're not going to have peace. You're going to have problems. It's going to be a continual thing. It's not going to be one thing. It's going to be multiplied things that's coming to you. It's going to be nothing but trouble. Why? Because the word of the Lord is precious. And when you get the word of the Lord, then you can prosper. When you follow the way of the Lord, then you'll prosper. And when you get the word of the Lord, you can go God's way and have a good time in the Lord. But beloved friend, if you don't go God's way, you're not going to have a good time in the Lord. You're not going to have a good time at all. You're just going to have problems. That's all it is to it. But I'm glad I'm a Christian. Hallelujah. I feel something build up in my heart and in my chest and in my body and in my mind. And I feel something build up and say, I love you, son. Love me and walk in my way, and all that you do shall prosper. Walk in my ways and I'll bless you, and I'll make you to ride upon the high places of the earth. And he'll say to me, son, bring every thought into subjection to the obedience of Jesus Christ, casting down the imagination and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. And he says, walk with me as Abraham did, and be perfect before me. Be perfect before me. Be therefore perfect, even as thy Father in heaven is perfect. Don't be of that kind of a people that have to repent every day and every day. And the Bible said, laying the foundation of repentance over and over. He said, don't do that. But let us leave that and let us go on to be perfect. To be therefore perfect, even as thy Father in heaven is perfect. So then there is an exciting moment. There is an exciting hour. This is an exciting time, and I'm excited about it. I'm excited when I'm at Bethlehem. I'm excited when I'm on the ship. I'm excited when I'm in Mississippi, when I'm overseas in the foreign countries. I'm excited because I love the Lord and because I see this great and mighty thing. I can live forever. I can have strength forever. I can have health forever. I can have riches forever. Live and be strong and happy in God. Always doing something outstanding for God in every state, in every place, in every country. Because God is with me, and God will order my path. And God will bless me, and God will keep me all the days of my life. Because I love Jesus, and because he's with me. And he loves you, and he's for you if you repent. And if you'll forsake your wrongs, the Bible said, them that are called by my name, if they'll turn away from their evil, call upon God, I'll hear from heaven, and I will heal their lands. But I tell you, in the name of the Lord, folks, unless you come out of Babylon, you'll never do it. If you sit and say, well, I don't know what the preacher said. I can't understand all of that. I don't know about all of that. You're down in Babylon. You know, if one day you're with God and the next day you're confused, and one day you say, boy, all of these things are happening to me. God doesn't meet my needs. I don't understand all of this. You're down in Babylon. But folks, when you come out of Babylon, you'll say, praise God, I understand. Everything is clear as the noonday. No twilight about it. I'm not in darkness. I'm in light. I'm a child of light. I understand where I've been. I understand where I'm at. I understand where I'm going. I'm having a good time in the Lord. I know the will of the Lord. The Bible said that we should know the will of the Lord. I know the will of the Lord, and I'm walking in the will of the Lord, and I'm doing something for Jesus. I'm not confused, you know. Stand up and let the world know that you're not confused, that you're not hazy in your mind and your thinking. That you're not walking in the shadows, that you're in the light. See, walking in the light, as God is in the light. And the Bible said we will have fellowship one with another. Walking in the light. We sing that song, I'll walk in the light. I'll walk in the light that's shining upon me from heaven so bright. Walking in the light. For it shall come to pass that in the evening time there shall be light. And unto the people that sit in the regions of the shadow of death, there's great light that is spring up unto them. To walk in the light and sing of the glory of God. Why not? What else is there to do? Is there anything better? Everything. People have done everything, and there's nothing better. I don't know of anything better, you know, than to walk in the light. To walk in the light. So then I thought that I'd take just a little time tonight and exhort you and talk to you about the word of the Lord and how precious it is. Don't try to change it. Don't be foolish. Don't say the Lord said, howbeit when the Lord has not spoken. Don't go after foolish things and don't try to make yourself a name. Jesus never sought to make himself a name. Don't try to make yourself a name. Don't try to look for a reputation. Just sit still like David did on the hillside. Nobody has to know anything about you. Just sit still on the hillside. God is not looking for ambition. For he said, the zeal of thine house has eaten me up. But he's looking for somebody that's loyal. Somebody that's just sitting out on the hillside that's trying to do what God has appointed them to do. David's sitting out there just trying to watch after the sheep. That's all he was doing. One day God looked down and he saw that courageous heart of David. He saw that bear come up and he saw the courage of David as David faced the bear. He saw the lion come up and he saw the courage of David as David faced the lion. And he thought, now here is the man right here. There's a giant fixing to raise up on this hillside over here, and all of Israel, including Saul, is going to be scared half to death. But there's the little shepherd boy out there. He's got a heart like my own. He's fearless. And he's the man I'm looking for. Not a soldier in the army that can handle the situation. But he picked that little old shepherd boy up and he brought him over there. And he took that little old shepherd boy, put one little sling in his hand with a few stones and sent him up the side of the mountain. That's all that he had. No armor, no nothing. Up the side of the mountain, and he went dancing and a singing and a praising God. Just exactly the way he did when he went after the bear and the way that he did when he went after the lion. What called that? Faith. Faith. David had faith in his heart. That's what counts as faith. You know why he had faith? He'd been loyal. He'd done what his father told him to do. Sitting out there meditating, talking to God, not the love of the world, but feeding himself on the things of God and taking courage, and had his little sheep out there watching after them. And when that evil one came, the love for them little sheep that he had cuddled, that he had watched after, just like little children, the love for them little sheep caused David to rise up. You know the one thing that Jesus asked Peter, said, lovest thou me more than all of these? Said, if you do, said, why don't you feed my sheep? Said, David was out there feeding the sheep. The Bible said, blessed is the one that I find so doing. At my coming, I'll make him ruler over all that I've got, giving my household food in season. I'll make him ruler over all I've got. And so then David had the courage. David had the word of the Lord. Jeremiah had the word of the Lord. Abraham had the word of the Lord. Daniel had the word of the Lord. In the day we're living in, do you have the word of the Lord? If you're the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're the true church, you should have the word of the Lord. If you have the word of the Lord, then you can say, thus saith the Lord. You can stand up and say, this will happen. You can stand up and say, this is the signs of the time. You can stand up and say, the president is right or wrong. You can stand up and say, this is the way it's going to be. No matter who says what, dignitaries, foreign leaders, or whatever. If you've got the word of the Lord, you can stand up and say, God said, and this is the way it's going to be, folks. And it'll come to pass. It'll come to pass for you and for every one of us. It'll come to pass. So then God said, Hananias, thou hast falsely prophesied, and you falsely, so said the Lord, saith. He said, because of that thou shalt die. For if a prophet prophesied something presumptuously, the Bible said, and that prophet shall die. And Jeremiah said to the people, said, people, listen to me. Listen to me, said, I've got a word from God. He said, if there comes a prophet among you, and if that prophet says peace, peace, peace. He said, if peace comes, then fear that prophet, because you know that's a word from God. Said, if he says peace, Hananias kept saying peace. When the Bible said there's no peace to the wicked, and Israel had done wicked. That's why God sent them into Babylon. See, that's why the church world is confused today. That's why they can't differentiate between being a baseball player and being a son of God. Come on, folks. I said, they don't have enough understanding to differentiate between whether they should be a baseball player or be a son of God. They don't have any understanding. They've been to college. They've been to school. Done all the things of the world. Ever learning and never able to know the truth. They don't have enough understanding to differentiate between a preacher and some kind of college student. That's right. So then they don't understand. Why is it that they don't understand? Because the God of this world, even Lucifer, the prince of this world, has blinded them, blinded their eyes that they cannot see. So then they don't know whether they should have a pool room or a church. They don't know whether they should have a baseball team or a congregation to praise God. They don't know whether they should try to be the mayor and send their children to school to be governors, or whether they should pray and fast and get ready for the coming of the Lord and the translation. They don't know. You know why? They're in Babylon. They're down there in the rims of confusion. They don't know whether they should frolic and go to Six Flags and have a good time and thank God because He so loves them that He allows all of that, or whether they should turn away from that and go to church and pray and seek God and have God's favor. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, I'm sure they know better than that. Well, why don't they do better? If they know better, why don't they do better? You mean to tell me that a man knows to do the right thing and won't do it? Those people know to do better than that and won't do it, then they're worse off than if it was the other way around. Because if a man knoweth to do good and doeth it not, then to him it is a sin. Jesus on one occasion talked to some people. He healed a blind man. And they came to the blind man and they harassed the blind man and said, who done this? He said, I told you who done this over and over. Well, if I tell you again, said, you're not going to pay any attention to it. You're not going to listen at it. He said, will you be his disciples? They said, you being blind, you tell us. You're born in sin and you tell us. Jesus preaching to them. And Jesus spoke to him and told him. He said, if the blind lead the blind, they all fall into the ditch. They said, you say that we're blind. We're not blind. Jesus said, well, if you're not blind, then that means that your sins remain because you see to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is a sin. He said, you'll receive the greater damnation. So folks, if they see and they understand and they're still doing all those things, they'll receive the greater damnation. Well, I'm glad I'm Christian. I'm glad that I believe in the word of the Lord. If God said it, I believe it. No matter who says anything different, if God said it, I believe it. All right, let's stand together. I believe in the word of the Lord. I believe that God said it when Jeremiah said that. Yeah, and amen. I know it's going to be like that. You know, if I'd have been living that day, that's what I would say. Can we do the right things? Of course we can. Are we doing the right things? You know that the church world isn't doing the right thing. But what should we do, Brother Pike? Repent. Is God going to save us in spite of all of the things that we're doing? Is God actually going to save people that are going out to the ball game and to the frolics of the world? Is He actually going to save those people? Will God actually overlook that and save them? Absolutely not. They will die and go to hell. When you say, but Brother Pike, they belong to the churches, even the Pentecostal churches. I can't help it. They'll still die and go to hell. If a man goes to the ball game, if he wants to go to the ball game, if he wants to go hunting, if he wants to go fishing, if he wants to do the things of the world, it's because he's got the love of the world in him. Will God save him? Absolutely not. He'll go to hell. It's the love of the world. It's not the love of God. And he will go to hell. If he's got to go to the Six Flags and he's got to go to the ball games and he's got to spend his time hunting, he's got to spend his time fishing, he's got to spend his time in the things of the world, he doesn't have the love of God. The love of God will make you go after God, and the child is known by his doings. And whatever the man does, that's what it is. If a man's got a business and that man goes after the business and wants to make money, and always wanting to make money, that man doesn't have the love of God. He has the love of his business. He has the love of the world. He'll die and go to hell. If a man will neglect God's things, will a woman neglect God's things and go after the things of the world, that person will die and go to hell. You know, it's like I was telling my wife today. I was talking to my wife. I'd sent after something to make some little frocks for the women to where they could have these little aprons working around the place, magnifying the name of the Lord Jesus, doing something for the Lord. And you know, I mentioned to them about 3 days ago that I wanted these things, and they didn't get them for me. So I went back and I asked why they did not get them. And of course, there was a reason. There's always a reason.
And it disturbs me.
And sometimes it's hard to make folks understand. But I said, let me tell you something. When I come and ask for something, I said, Sister Betty, don't wait till somebody can conveniently go to town because they have some natural thing that in the by and by they're going to do. And when it's convenient for them, they'll run by and pick this up for you. I said, don't do that with the things of God. I said, you find somebody that will especially leave everything they've got and go to town especially for God. I said, and then if they've got any natural thing to do, they can do it while they're up there if they don't take too long and hinder the work of God. I said, if you call one person and that person doesn't immediately respond, and that the Bible said the king's matter requires haste, I said, put that person out of the way. Don't hurt them. Don't do anything wrong, that is. But call another person immediately and get another person that's willing and ready to go. That's the way God wants it. This is not some game. This is not some thing you play with. You know,
That's not what it is.
It's like I was telling Brother Don and some of them down in the printing room. You've got a job. Gentlemen, you have a job. Ladies, you have a job. Why is it that you men on a Monday don't leave off with the responsibility that you've got? Why don't you go to your job when you take a good notion? Why don't you do it when you take a good notion? When somebody says, come and bid on a job, why don't you go when you take a good notion? If you've got a responsible place in an office, why don't you get there when you take a good notion? Why don't you do like you want to and leave when you get ready? Because you know that doesn't make good sense. That doesn't make good sense. And nobody's going to work with you on those bases. You know you're not going to get the job. If you don't go immediately, you're not going to get the job. If you don't keep up your work, you're not going to get your paycheck. And you're not going to have a wife. She'll leave you. Oh, somebody says, my wife, she would never leave me. You just leave off with a paycheck and you'll see how much wife you got. That's right. It's just like I said, the older you get, the more you'll learn how much of your experience is zeal instead of Christ. And how much more you want to show your face on television and be in some kind of a book. You learn what's zeal and what's not zeal. See, you say, Brother Pike, what are you talking about? The more you leave off with your job, the more you'll find out what your wife is married to, whether it's you or your pocketbook. Somebody say, praise the Lord. You got a good wife, haven't you? You better keep her good. Keep you a good income, she'll be all right. I love you. I want to help you. But folks, there's one thing about it. God expects something out of us. He doesn't expect us to put Him last. He said, seek me first. I'm a jealous God. I don't like for you to do other things and put me off, God said. Seek me first. And then all of the other things will be added unto you. You said, but I've done such and such, Brother Pike. Yesterday's not good enough. The Bible said, if you do righteously and then you turn and do wickedly, all of your righteousness will not be remembered and your sins will die. What you've done yesterday is good if you only continue to do something today. So then let's not get stagnant on God. Let's be fresh and let's be alive. Will the Pentecostal church of today, will the Baptist church of today, will the Methodist church, the Catholic church, and all the other churches, will they make it into the kingdom of God on what they did yesterday? No, they will not. God is expecting to do it right now. Expecting you to do it right now. Expecting it to be done right now. God wants to do it right now. God needs somebody right now. What did you do yesterday? Good. What are you doing today? That's what counts. Brother Pike, what are you doing? I tell you, I'm shaking like a leaf in a windstorm every once in a while. Trying to figure out why I failed to do what I should have done and trying to do more and asking God to help me keep my life from being wretched before Him. Because I fear God and I believe the word of the Lord and I received a word from God. And folks, it's wonderful. There's a web that Satan has spun, like the song that we wrote. And that web is the lust of the flesh, the love of the world. And many people are being caught in it. So if you love Jesus, then put all those things behind you and let's get down to business, folks. I said, Peter, what are you doing out there fishing? Oh, well, anybody could go fishing. Anybody got enough sense to know God don't care if you go fishing. But that wasn't what he said. He said, Peter, said, do you love me? You know that I love you, Lord. He said, well, what are you doing fishing? Did I call you to fish, Peter? Didn't I say go into all the world and fish in every fishing hole? I said, what are you doing out there fishing, Peter? Well, there's nothing wrong with fishing, Lord. Why, even the charismatics believe that. But he said, Peter, did I tell you to go fishing? Was it your idea or my idea? He said, Peter, do you love me more than the charismatic way of life? He said, what are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about fishing and hunting and boating and frolicking and going to movies and dancing and petting parties and everything else that they include. You love me more than all of these things. Do I mean more to you than a ball game? Don't you know that's pretty small, folks? Boy, folks would like to take my head off. I know that. But that's so small. A man that talks about loving God and he's got to get out there and run around, you know, across a field and waller in the mud and grab up a stick and beat on a whatever he can get a hold of, you know. Pop his glove and say, throw it, babe, that's pretty little. Even my little boys know better than that. They got enough sense to tell you they ain't living right if they get out there in the world and do those things. My daughter today, I said, Gracie, you need to come to church.
She said, I ain't coming out to a church and listen to somebody who's in as better shape as I am.
But you know, she still got respect for her dad. She let me know that if I was here preaching, then she didn't mind coming to church. Even they know better, you know.
So, well, does that make you righteous? No, I'm just her daddy, that's all.
She might find fault with me if I wasn't her daddy. Some of them find fault with me when I am their daddy. But you know, it was a good thought. And I've thought about it a lot of times. Why go hear anybody that's in as bad a shape as you are?
Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, that's why I don't come to church no more regular than I do. It's because of you. Well, I'll tell you one thing. If that be the case, then I excuse you.
Now, if you can get God to excuse you,
then that's fine because I excuse you. You know, if I'm not right with God as to your thinking and understanding, I excuse you. You need to stay away from church here.
That's right. I'm for you. Like Jeremiah said to Hananiah, I'm for you if that be the case.
But on the other hand, when you leave the church here, let me know that you're of the church across the way.
Because somewhere in the world, God's got a man.
And somewhere in the world, God's got a woman. And somewhere in the world, there's a preacher that's right. And if you leave here that I'm not right, according to your speculation, then let me know that on church night, you're over yonder with the other fellow that is right. Because somebody's right somewhere. But if you leave here because you want to go frolic and you want to do the things of the world and you want to leave off with church, then I'll tell you that you're going to hell. Let's sing a little chorus together, can we?
The prophet looked down and he said, death in the pot. The letter killeth, there's death in the pot.
The law in Moses. But grace and righteousness came by Jesus. God said, I got a Jesus, I'll put him in the pot. Eat of him, taste of him. And we'll take the death out of the pot. We'll sweeten it with that love of God and that wonderful faith in God of eternal life.
To be like Jesus, just to be like Jesus, on this earth I long, just to be like Him. All through life's journey, from earth to glory, I only ask just to be like Him. From Bethlehem's manger came forth a stranger, on this earth I long to be like Him. All through life's journey, from earth to glory, I only ask just to be like Him.
Sing it with me, will you?
Just to be like Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. On earth I long just to be like Him. All through life's journey, from earth to glory, I only ask just to be like Him.
Sing one more time.
Just to be like Jesus. Just to be like Jesus, on this earth alone, just to be like Him. All through life's journey, from earth to glory,
do you long to be like Jesus? Do you really want to be like Jesus? Jesus said, follow in my steps. Follow in my steps. Paul said, follow me as I follow Jesus. To be like Jesus on earth I long to be like Him all through life's journey. You know, when you think about going to heaven, and all of a sudden you step there within the lovely portals of heaven. My, there's that wonderful atmosphere. You look around and everything is in such a beautiful conglomeration. It's like a lovely rainbow. And you look and there's the gates of pearls. And there's the streets of gold. And there's the foundations of diamonds and rubies. And all of the lovely things, you know, of all the jewels that is. The diamond. It is an atmosphere of that of the diamond. But a real diamond of the people. And then you see people that sparkle, that outshine the noonday sun. And there they are. And there's the light of that city where there cometh no night. And the songs of the angels are so beautiful. And all the entire atmosphere is just illuminated and activated with the wonderful chimes of heaven and the melodious songs of the angels. It's like floating on a breeze. And everything is interwoven. My, there's paradise. It's on the outside of you. Paul said, in you and through you. And every fiber of your body within, without, everything about you is just illuminated and ringing out with the chimes of heaven. And you're just part of the melodious feeling. You know, just like floating on a breeze. Heaven, folks. Talking about heaven. If you miss heaven, you've missed it all. To enter into that atmosphere, to never again escape that atmosphere, to leave it. Never again. No, not to have a loaning for a ball game. Not to have a loaning to make $1 million. Not to have a loaning to go out into the world somewhere and become famous. To be some kind of a celebrity. Not that. Not that anymore. No more loaning at all. And there you stand. That's heaven. That's paradise. Every feeling, every desire, every intent of the heart, every reflect of the mind is perfect. Feeling so good. Feeling so good, heaven. Wouldn't you like to be in the world like that? That's where I'm at. That's where I'm at. There is a song in my heart. There is a praise in my heart. There is a thrill in my heart. You know why? Because the kingdom of heaven is on the inside of me. I'm carrying the kingdom of heaven in my heart. God is on the inside of me. And where He is, that's paradise. And my spirit is daily bathing in the joy and peace and righteousness of His lovely service. Because I'm happy, folks. But serving God is joy. It's peace. It's joy unspeakable, unexpressible. I've got it like rivers of living water flowing out of my innermost being. Jesus, to be like Jesus. Isn't that the answer to it? I want to be like Jesus. That's the secret. Doing always the things that please the Father. You love Jesus? Do you really love Jesus? Let's sing another chorus or two just before we dismiss if you love Jesus. It's good to see Dale here with us tonight. I always appreciate Dale coming. I look forward to it. Also, Leon, we're so glad to have Leon with us. Leon's been with us in a number of services as of late. To love Jesus, to be like Jesus. Glad to have the sister out here tonight, over here, just across from Brother Gills. Glad to have her here with us tonight. Appreciate you. We love you. We want to help you. Glad to see our brother that works over the store. It's hard for me to remember their names. I don't get to talk with them that much. But I remember their faces, the different ones that come. And we're glad to have you here. The world is so wonderful with Jesus. The song we wrote, life can be beautiful if you take Jesus with you. How lovely it is to be a Christian. Not a make-believe, not trying to convince anybody, but just day by day enjoying this wonderful state of bliss into which my soul has entered. Therefore there remaineth a rest for God's people. Folks, you can be in a rest. Did you know that? Seeing that they that mumble and grumble in the wilderness did not enter into, the Bible said, therefore there remaineth a rest for God's people. If you've entered into that rest, you've ceased from your own struggling. You have peace. He said, woman, drink of this water. He said, you won't ever get thirsty no more. He said, this will take care of all your thirst. But when you're thirsty, you got to do this, and you got to do that, and you got to go over yonder, and you're looking for something. Always restless. Can't be contented.
never contented. It doesn't matter what you do. You're not going to be contented because there's no peace. See, but in God, it doesn't matter where you're at and what you're doing. You're contented because it's Jesus. Real, folk. It's real. Let's sing this little chorus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, do you love Jesus? Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me. You know, the way I feel inside of my heart, there is springing up within my heart the resurrectional powers of the early morning dew with the birds singing in the treetops and springtime in my heart, springtime in my spirit. You know why? Because Jesus is in my heart. I love to praise Him. I love to sing about Him. I love to think about Him. I love to do things for Him. Sometimes the brethren, they get aggravated with me. You know, because I want to do something for Jesus. But I feel so good in my spirit. I feel so wonderful in trusting Him. Because He's Jesus. He's Jesus whom my soul loveth. Solomon said, I sought Him among the lilies. I looked for Him. I watched that when the little poppies begin to put forth their faces, I said, my lover is near. My lover is near. Somewhere, somewhere among the lilies, Solomon said, there where the smell of the sweetness of the field and the pomegranates are, as the bells of Aaron upon his garment, as the ring, as he went into the presence of God, and the swell, the wonderful smell of the sweet shrub trees. As a boy, when I used to go down through the field, done it many times, go down through the field and underneath the little trees that had woven themselves together like an umbrella, and the sweet shrubs everywhere, the wild roses, going down to the little creek. I've done it many a time, way down, quite a ways, down to the little rocky creek. You know, I could smell that smell. I was strong and healthy, youthful, didn't have any worries, didn't have any problems, didn't have to worry about the light bill. No dad was going to take care of the rent if there was any. I didn't have to worry about one thing, and that is if I slipped out from the field, that daddy didn't catch me while I was gone. And if I took care of that, then I was happy because I had his favor. And folks, I had a good time. I mean a good time. And you know, that's the way it is now. I try to have my Father's favor. Try to do, Jesus said, always the things that please my Father. And on the inside of my heart, it's like springtime. It's like the dewdrops of the morning. Like the smell of the sweet shrub trees. And there is a joy and a jubilance that's unsurpassable. Full of glory, inexpressible. Jesus. Jesus. Isn't Jesus wonderful? Let's sing that little chorus, can't we? If I forget it, Frank will remember it. Oh, Jesus, sweet Jesus, what a wonder You are. You are. Can you sing it with me? You're much fairer, much fairer than the lily that blooms by the way. You're more precious than gold. Sing it with me. Oh, my Jesus, sweet Jesus, what a wonder You are. You are brighter than the morning star. You're fairer, much fairer than the lily that blooms by the way. And You're more precious than gold. Can you raise it just a little? Let's raise that little, just a little, and sing it again, can we? Oh, Jesus, sweet Jesus, what a wonder You are. You are brighter than the morning star.
done. You're more Hannah, more Pharaoh than the lily that blooms by the way. And you're more precious than fine gold. Oh, my Jesus, sweet Jesus, what a wonder you are. You are brighter than the morning star. You're much, much fairer than the lily that blooms by the way. And you're more precious than gold. Sing it one more time. Jesus, what a wonder you are. You are brighter than the morning star. You're more feral than the lily that blooms by the way. And you're more precious than gold. Just one more time. Oh, sweet Jesus, what a wonder you are. You are brighter than the morning star. You're much fairer than the lily that blooms by the way. And you're more precious than gold. Can you say amen to that? Let's sing this little chorus, and we're going to try to close out here in just a few minutes and let you go. But I love to sing about Jesus. Let's sing that song everybody ought to know, brother. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. He's the lily of my valley, and he's my bride and my morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to know. Sing with me. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell who Jesus is. For he is the lily of your valley, and he's your bride and your morning star. And he is the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. For he is the lily of my valley, and he's my bride and my morning star. And he is the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to know. Sing it one more time. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell who Jesus is. For he is the lily of your valley, and he's your bride and your morning star. And he is the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought, can you sing it just one more time? Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. For he is the lily of my valley, and he's my bright and my morning star. And he is the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to know. I want you to bow your heads with me. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. If you don't know who Jesus is, then you ought to know who Jesus is. You say, who is Jesus? He's the lily of my valley. He's the fairest of 10,000. He's brighter than the morning star. And my heart paineth after him, the writer said, like the heart doth the water brook. When the heart gets thirsty, pants after the water, my heart panteth after Jesus as the heart the water brook. God loves you, folks. God wants to help you. God wants to stand by you. God wants to deliver you. God wants to bring you out of Babylon. God don't want you to hang your harps on the willers. He wants you to sing the songs of Zion. They said, you Israelites, sing us them songs of Zion. We'd like to hear them pretty songs. You know, we're not going to let you serve God, Pharaoh said. You're going to be our servants. But in the moment of your relaxation, how about singing us one of them songs of Zion? We're religious. We like that. You know, play for Saul. It makes him feel better. The evil spirits leave him. They said, folks, we can't sing the songs of Zion. We've hung our harps on the willows. You know, the willows. You've heard of the weeping willow? That is, they said, we are weeping, mourning. Weeping and mourning. We've hung our harps on the willows. And we can't sing the songs of Zion. We're out of our homeland. But you know what, folks? Come out of Babylon. Get out of Babylon. Get over into your homeland. Come over into the land of milk and honey. Come over to where serving God is joy, peace, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. And then you'll take your harps off of the willows, and you'll sing the songs of Zion. And you'll say, oh, how the grapes of Aeschylus shine. Isn't that beautiful? Jesus, the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley, the bright and the morning star. I get down in the valley, and before I can ever weep and mourn, I look, and something is so beautiful, and I say, glory to God, there's the lily of the valley. And I get on the mountaintop, you know, I want to praise him, and I look, and I say, well, praise God, there's the rose of Sharon. And I look up at the heavens, I say, oh my God, there he is, brighter than the morning star. You know, Jesus, everywhere. Jesus, everything. He's my satisfaction, folks. I love him. Not scolding you. I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm not trying to do you wrong. Brother Pike wouldn't hurt you. I wouldn't hurt you for nothing in all the world. Not enough gold and silver to make me want to hurt you or misrepresent anything. But I'm telling you in the name of the Lord, you got to come out of Babylon. You got to come out of Babylon. If you're going to have the good times in God, you got to come out of Babylon. If you're having a good time in the world, then you're enjoying sin for a season. The Bible said that Moses chose to suffer the affliction with the righteous rather than enjoy sin for a season. For he esteemed the reproaches of Christ and the things of God worth more than the wealth of all of Egypt. This life is a few days and full of trouble. While you've got your heads bowed, I'm not going to ask you to come to the altar tonight, but I'm going to ask you to think this thing over. I'm going to ask you to take these words to your heart and seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. Don't wait too late. Don't let it be said too late, folks. Remember the word of the Lord, the real word of the Lord, in its pure form. not perverted, but the real word of the Lord is precious. Seek ye the word of the Lord and the way of the Lord. Seek ye the word of the Lord. It'll be precious to you. It'll solve all of your problems. It's spirit and life. While you've got your heads bowed, I'm going to ask Brother Gary Joyner to come up if he will. And as Gary comes to pray with you tonight, I want you to consider the things that I've said to you. Are you doing anything for the Lord? Are you standing at your post of duty? Have you been hired as of yet? Has anyone put you in the vineyard? God said to me, son, go hire them. Put them in the vineyard. Take the oversight. I'll pay them when I come. You know, to be used, you're going to have to make yourself available. I told some of them in the printing shop today. I said, some people, I can't use them anymore. I said, they're on a job. I don't know their schedule. I don't know when they're going. I don't know when they're coming. I don't know when they're here. I can't half find them. They're not available. I said, and I got to where they're not much good to me. You know, if you only seek to be around when you're in the preeminence so you can be in the front of the people or before the people, you're not much good to God. Anybody will do that. But you need to be around. I told them, I said, God can't use you. I can't hire you and put you in the vineyard. I can't use you if you're never around. I don't ever know where to find you. I ask about you and you're gone. Doing your own thing. You got to make yourself available. You got to hunger and thirst. You got to have a desire. You got to say, Lord, here am I, send me. While you've got your heads bowed and while Gary's coming to pray, think these things over. Tomorrow is another day. But remember, there's going to come a time when there won't be no tomorrow. Like the song I wrote, and there's no more tomorrow, cast in the sickle. For there's no more tomorrow because of cruel, sinful yesterday. It's going to be a sad time. Sounds like it's really raining outside. It may not be raining that much, but it sure sounds like it. And even if I dismiss you, you're not going to be able to go out too easy. But just be careful. Don't slip down when you start out of the house of the Lord. Remember, this is the house of God, folks. Enter into it with thanksgiving and with praise. Come to His house with jubilance. Love to go to the house of God. Be glad. Don't have a dread on church night. And God will give you the desires of your heart. You start dreading to come to church. Get to where you don't have no interest. Get to where your interest is more in the world. It's more exciting for you to do the things of the world. And I guarantee you'll go to hell. I guarantee you'll be lost. I guarantee you'll lose your prosperity, your loved ones, and everything else. I guarantee it. Delight yourself in doing the things of God, not the things of the world. Delight yourself in the things of God, and God will give you the desires of your heart. Not a one of you here that can say, but what you delighted yourself in the Lord, that God gave you the desires of your heart. Only when you left God and delighted yourself in the things of the world did you get problems. All right, God bless you as our brother Garrett comes.